Okay, for the first time ever in the history of this podcast, let me make sure that I have my phone silenced so Grindr doesn't go off.
I want it to go off, and I want to read the messages live as they come in.
You don't want to read these messages, segment. Girl. Let me see what it's giving.
The way that we'd have to put like a trigger warning ahead of the episode if we're going to include the Grindr sound Christ, effects.
Joan dating app era triggered.
Like, how many percentage of the people that listen are also getting Grindr notification
since,
sounds?
Okay, since listening? I woke up this morning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Stop.
Are, 13, are these 14, new messages?
Well, you have a new account,
like,
so.
Like, a new account, girl?
Well, in this area?
That's true.
She's been recently activated.
I've had it open since, like, last week.
Oh, okay.
But that's just, like, 13 new people.
That's what's a week of people who are getting in and out of situations to where they're like, okay, yeah, let's see what's
I've probably
all the
gotten,
here.
Like, 30 messages this month, which is, like, this week, which is probably not that bad. But like,
I've 99% of them are garbage.
They must all be getting online on the weekends. You know, they're like dick hungry and roaming. God, Joan Grindr era.
It's something
I shouldn't dox myself like this on the podcast. But if any of you do see me out there in the streets, like, say hi to a bitch. Like,
let's go get a drink. Why not?
As Tinashe said, hit me up for a good time, especially if you're hot.
Well, that makes it easier.
You know, one thing I will say.
What will you say?
I will just say this, and I don't mean to be problematic, like, within 10 seconds of recording this podcast, but, like, I think that it is, like, the duty of gay men to be hot. Like, if you're gonna, like...
Yes, body dysmorphia. Yes, unrealistic standards. All gay men actually need to be attractive, I'm sorry.
But beauty is also if on you the feel... inside, too. It comes from the inside
out. So we're talking about inner beauty.
We're talking about
or the hybrid
way...
of the inner and
we're
the
We're talking
outer
about
beauty.
The way inner beauty shines outward. Okay?
Well, then I agree.
Like, don't
then you're
send
right,
me
yes.
a dick pic of, like... In the middle of the night.
Well, send me one, but...
From the driver's seat of your car, and you have dirty windows and, like, a dusty dashboard. Like,
it's upsetting how much you can see in the background of a photo sometimes. Like,
the amount of dick pics in cars in the middle of night that I'm getting, but it's, like, dirty cars. Like, listen...
Like the McDonald's wrapper, like the hash brown.
I'm not even trying to shade people's mental health, but, like, could you at least wipe off the dashboard before you, like, spread it and send me the photo?
Well,
like,
you're also a clean freak, too, so you'll see the dust from, like, a mile away.
Okay, I'm not
a clean...
Okay, we have to drop the analogy that I'm a clean freak. I have an orderly space.
Y'all, do you hear this? I'm literally can testify that you would live in a model home, like, if you could. Like, that's the ideal space. We just talked about this yesterday.
Okay, look at
do
all
not
this,
lie.
Look at the crumbs and the, like, droppings.
Yeah, but you're always complaining about how dirty it feels like it's in your house at the
that's
same time.
That's true.
Which is why you're a clean
okay,
freak.
But that's my childhood trauma, okay?
Am I weaponizing that?
You're weaponizing the fact that my mom used to make us sleep in the garage while she cleaned the house
it's
until
true.
3 a.m.
I did think about your... childhood trauma when I was saying that earlier. I will not lie. But I think
so what you're saying is that you are intentionally trying to hurt women.
What I'm saying is I want to have productive conversations with women.
We're having open and honest dialogues.
Practicing radical honesty
can
this
we
morning.
Can we pivot to being that podcast that went viral the other day where they were talking about bisexual boyfriends maybe being trans someday, so like you can't be mean to them when you
no,
see them
I
at
saw
the club.
Like,
we should pivot to that energy.
I saw like third like distance, what's it like the distant
you
communications
saw, like,
on Twitter
three
about
rings
it.
Out.
Yes, whatever the hell the word is nexus yeah something like that it I saw abstract
you saw
critiques.
The outer rim of the black hole
and like, I was like
the event horizon
yeah no it was literally like a siren in the distance turned my head away like I don't see that
we won't be playing the clip on this podcast
that's
but,
queer theory I can't understand
but if we ever do sound like that please I am begging you all to like just run us over with your car okay so we've already talked about Grindr for 4 minutes so that's
wow.
The podcast
in radical honesty
that's good night yeah no it's a new era for me how do you feel about it though like is it stressing you out that it's
absolutely
like...
it stresses me
wait is it really stressing
no
you out?
I mean in like a fun way like
in a fun way
yeah of course
you're like what new thing is Joan gonna bring to my doorstep
as
today?
Long as you ain't calling me at 4 a.m like honey I need help like as long as I'm not getting that
oh, so I can't trust you in a dangerous situation
you know I would be there but like I don't want to be there It's like when you have to call your mom because you got too drunk at the prom, and they're like, well, okay, dear.
Drunkenness is not an issue for me anymore.
That's true. Absolutely.
I might smoke too much weed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the thing, though. I will just say.
But you're so resourceful. You would like, you would make sure that, like, the person you're with, like, paid the Uber.
To
you
know all what I mean? Like, my, you would... To all my fellow hot cisgender women, I would highly suggest putting Smoke Me Out as your name on Grindr because, like, I probably have, like, 8 or 10 joints lined up today. Like,
they're like, got you.
Like, the way that they're falling over themselves to, like, smoke weed with me, I'm like, this is exactly how I need to use this app as, that's like, true. A new wave delivery service. Like,
yeah, you could probably finesse a lot of weed off Grindr if you wanted
oh,
to.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just get me an 1/8 and I'll be there. Give me a 1/4. An ounce.
I'm not sucking dick for an 1/8.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing I can smoke an 1/8 right now.
No, no, like, I need you to bring me a whole tree for a dick suck, okay? We're mostly talking in circles about the fact that we have a podcast to get to. But it's also been a long time since we've just like hung out on the podcast. Does that make sense?
Well, it's also the weekend and it's like the morning.
Yeah, it's like the morning.
Better
it's
vibes.
The weekend. We haven't done a morning.
We're not hour 3 into the mania.
We haven't done a morning podcast in like a really long time.
That's true.
When was the last time we recorded the Minions? In the AM?
The Minions.
The Minions.
That's why.
Y'all see how that turned out for us. So let's
because we
about,
had an assignment, it's because we had a job and the job was torture.
Let's talk about some of the links that we're not going to be getting to today because
absolutely.
I just personally I don't have the energy. We have Ramona Singer trashing the Roni spinoff, calling it the loser show. Olivia Wilde shares her special salad dressing recipe in response to former nanny's allegation.
Okay, what a
in
week
in response to the nanny's allegation.
What a week for the word nanny to get you so many results.
Try Guy's wife claims she saw Jorms Corden scream at busboy over closed restaurant. Meghan Markle quote, I envied Paris Hilton because I grew up smart, not pretty. Leah Michelle declares quote, bangs are back. Wendy Williams is now, quote, home and healing after reentering rehab to focus on overall health issues. Kanye West hires Johnny Depp's defamation trial attorney. Trevor Noah explains why he has no beef with Kanye West following Dua Lipa hookup allegations. And Nick Kroll on the insanity of the Don't Worry Darling drama, quote, so much of it was nonsense.
I feel like we are in really a cursed era. This
yeah.
fall, this holiday season.
The holidays, like, listen, like, it's
spooky,
a stressful
spooky
time
October
for everyone,
indeed.
And especially the celebrities, like
all the ones that are interesting are gone doing something better we don't know about, and then we're left with all the losers.
We do have one thing that I do really want to talk about.
I see Taylor Swift on this.
Did
you
see this
so
Taylor Swift
much.
Link?
No. Oh,
okay, I also want to just say up this. Front, listen, if you like Taylor Swift and you listen to this podcast, you're not valid. We love you in like a comrade way. But, like, you're not in the struggle with us.
Two things could be true at the same time for you.
We care about you and we want you to be safe and happy and healthy, but we also are not in allyship with you over Taylor
absolutely
Swift.
Not. Absolutely
this is
not.
An anti-Taylor Swift space, and we're about to say some very mean things about Taylor Swift fans, so I am just prefacing that. So, this Page Six roundup, you know, Page Six has this addiction to finding the absolute worst posters and then posting them. Like,
so, I like that they make sure to put tweets in quotes so, like, if they get deleted, they don't get removed from the headline.
Yes.
And that's great.
Quote,
so.
Fans think Taylor Swift shaded Kim Kardashian, Kanye West divorce on new album Midnights.
Boo.
Boo.
Boring.
Can you imagine we're still
boring.
Talking about this, like, over a decade later?
It's
like,
literally been 2009. That was 13 years ago, this Kanye Taylor Swift stuff started.
Talking about
I was
this.
A freshman in high school and people and my teacher was talking about it with us.
I was just born.
you're 13? You're a 13-year-old? These Grindr conversations so, get earlier a little scary now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So many Taylor Swift fans believe her new song Vigilante Shit on Midnight's album is about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's divorce. Okay. So I just want to preface this by saying that Taylor Swift fans are QAnon. Like, I think that we could just, like, get this out of the way right
yeah,
up front. Like,
absolutely. Numerology is
Larry's
very important to them.
Taylor Swift fans, BTS fans are all QAnon. Okay.
And Nicki Minaj fans.
And Nicki Minaj. The Barbs.
The Barbs,
who
yeah.
do you think invented 8chan? It's the Barbs. Like, okay. So on the track, Vigilante Shit, which is...
These names? Oh, sorry. I can't even. Okay.
Vigilante shit. Vigilante shit. Okay? She called that vigilante shit. You know what's vigilante shit, Taylor? When I fucking burn your house down during the class war, okay? So on the track, the 32-year-old pop star sings about, quote, being thick as thieves with the ex of a, quote, nemesis and giving her, quote, cold hard proof. Now she gets the house, gets the kids, gets the pride. Picture me thick as thieves with your ex-wife. And she looks so pretty driving in your Benz.
Wow, these are horrible mid. Lyrics.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The first
mid, yeah.
thing is, what is it about Taylor Swift lyrics that makes the most like mid people alive go like absolute midness over them? Because like, this is the most mid shit I've ever heard. Like, it is so.
It's pretty cringe.
I hate to conjure up the word basic, but like,
we need a better word.
On the basic meter, this is below Christian Girl Autumn. Okay. Like,
far below. Like, Christian Girl Autumn.
At least she drove her Suburban into the Twin Towers. Like, at least she's in the struggle with us. So
I really hope to all who don't understand what we're talking about.
I dare you to
that you have up. Good faith in us.
I dare you to look up Christian Girl Autumn 9/11.
Now that's the truth.
Okay. Okay, fuck. Okay, so.
Yeah. Back to the QAnon
now
people.
Now Swift's. I like that Page Six calls them her acolytes. Are theorizing that she developed a secret friendship with Kardashian, with whom she engaged in a heated feud alongside West in 2016. So basically, literally a bunch of her fans have convinced themselves that like Taylor Swift is like imagining a scenario where her and Kim are like BFFs and are like getting back at Kanye, which is the lamest shit I've ever heard, right? Like, lame as fuck.
Especially with how Kanye's been acting now, it's just like not meeting the level it needs to be.
And also, you stupid bitch, you think Kim drives a Benz? Like, you think that lady's driving a Benz? You think Kanye West has a BMW?
The Benz is like the one that the kids drive, you know, like the toy Benz that you buy at like Target.
Taylor Swift imagining that Kim drives a Benz is like once again proof to my overarching theory of pop culture that you can remove these celebrities from the suburbs, but you cannot remove the suburbs from these celebrities, because she's like, what is like the nicest car I can think of, like a woman getting back at her ex-husband inside of? A Benz, a BMW.
I mean, these lyrics feel like those lyrics that, what were those like production people that went through suburban towns and made like the Rebecca Blacks and like, you know, that like era of 2013, you know,
they
like
were
they would
like,
give like teenage girls,
oh, yeah,
like,
when
music
they
videos for their birthdays.
When they were trolling every Westfield mall,
yes,
in California.
My God, they used to do that
Star
at the malls, remember?
Westfield.
Oh my God, I forgot about those.
I don't
those
know. Do they have Westfield elsewhere but California?
I have no fucking idea. Probably.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Right?
But Westfields are just like the big mall here.
The Stalin Mall of America that's like, do you want your kid to be a model? That's where they got
I remember when they did runways of like 14-year-olds and they're like, audition. I'm
okay.
Like, this is
so these tweets
upsetting.
You can't tell me this isn't about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. Like, girl, no, it's not. It's not. It's
Page
literally
six
not
official
about
source
this.
Is like a tweet.
There's other things, but Page Six crashed, so I don't really give a fuck about the rest of these tweets, to be honest. Like, I was gonna go
Safari's
on about this.
Safari's telling you what to do.
I was gonna go on about this, but I lost interest like halfway through. Okay, so let's talk about really quickly Lisa Rinna's tweets about her Instagram posts about Kathy Hilton.
Is this the one that she deleted recently?
It's real bad. Okay.
It's pretty bad. I think it's the one I think it
so,
is.
So, trigger warning for mention of sexual assault and rape. Like, just trigger warning for that. Lisa Rinna's disgusting. Quote, I'm a firm believer that the truth will always come out. You might as well save the energy and just be honest from the start.
Let's like get some context.
Don't play either. Call me as many names as you want. The truth is still the truth. She's talking about Kathy Hilton calling her a bully. And then she posts a tweet. Dorit fought with both Lisa and Erica and wasn't afraid to do so even on her first SE. season.
Yeah.
Garcelle's argued with both of them, so has Cotton and even Kyle. So who exactly is too scared of them as, quote, bullies? Crystal, Kathy, herself? Because the others clearly understand what they're being paid for. Once again, she's doing the, like, I'm paid to be the villain. Then she also tweets another one from, quote, STEM Bimbo, and the account is, quote, XXXpensive. And it's a picture of Erica Jane.
And then the nail emoji.
Kathy Hilton is taking this show too seriously. Two bullies? Ma'am, you are 65. How can you be bullied? And then she also retweets slutpig777 with the name Bring Back Vicky Gumbelson.
Might as well just say bring back
Kyle. She lost her mom too this year. They need to lay off. They're the bullies. Kathy is a bully to Kyle if we really want to go there. And then Lisa says, quote, let's go.
I'm sorry,
there.
If they bring up her dead mom again, I'm gonna kill myself.
So she then says some really vile shit about Paris Hilton that we are not going to say here on the podcast. But she basically says that Kathy Hilton is the reason why her daughter was sexually assaulted and abused, which, listen.
Yeah, she's doing like, who's the real bully? And then she brings up her
and
parenting.
She basically doesn't say it in like a, oh my God, it's horrible, what happened to Paris way. She's saying it as like a, oh, you think I'm a bad mom? Look what you did to your daughter.
No, it literally
weaponizing
is like a
rape as like a bludgeoning tool for a reality TV show argument, which is like the most low down, heinous ass fucking bullshit, fucking fuck shit I've ever heard in my life. It's so low and disgusting. Like, this is what I'm saying. This is what I hate about fucking Bravo fans. It's the same shit with Ramona too, where they're like, well, Ramona's like funny. Like, who cares that she's like a Trumpy and she like posts Tucker Carlson every day and is like hates gay people and like thinks that like basically anyone who isn't white should be like put in a prison camp. Like, she's so funny, like Turtle Time.
Oh, the Turtle Time thing. They'll never
and it's
stop
like,
bringing that up.
Like, I just don't think it's entertaining. Like, it's not entertaining. Like, Lisa Rinna and Erica are fucking racists.
And it's annoying because there are better people. Racists. There are like hundreds of people in this country who could literally do a much better job at delivering the same entertainment and not being an awful, terrible person.
And it's
I don't know why they act like it's like they almost have to be this person to be entertaining.
We kind of briefly mentioned this about the new Roni people, so I'll save the conversation for then. But I do have thoughts about how this also connects to the new Roni cast.
Oh,
but
mama, absolutely.
Let's keep going. We have one more Bravo story before we get to the Roni stuff. Tom Schwartz, quote, shut down when James Kennedy outed Raquel Levis hookup. Did you see this, that he fucked, that they fucked him and Raquel?
At BravoCon?
No, before, during the filming of the season. And apparently it's the new plot line this season, is that him and Raquel were hooking up.
It's probably the only plot line this season. To be fair.
Listen to this.
Didn't the girls open a sandwich shop?
Tom Schwartz felt, quote, really awkward when James Kennedy accused him of making out with Raquel on stage at BravoCon. Quote, I kind of shut down. He said exclusively to Page Six at, quote, Soho House's Patron Tequila pit stop event in Austin, Texas.
Soho House.
I kind of just put my head down and clicked my heels together and was hoping I could disappear. After Kennedy's allegation on stage, Schwartz blushed, slowly raised his hand to his face and tried to shield his reaction. He also says, quote, I just wrote it out and you'll see how it plays out this season. There's a buildup and there's a lot of fallout afterwards. I'm still processing the whole thing. He says it was a very emotional time for him, season 10, and that the cast is calling it, quote, the season of change, the season of new beginnings. There's a whole new landscape for Vanderpump Rules. It feels like a reset, a new show.
Fat chance. I'd like to see what the fuck that means.
Yeah, that's why it's coming 2 years later. Like...
Literally, and also no trailer information at BravoCon.
What is this Candace thing, by the way, from Potomac? This is like a Bravo-themed like moment.
Well, BravoCon happened, and we're not
because
even really
BravoCon
about
happened,
it.
And we didn't talk about it, so we're just catching.
But
up
also,
on
it's like the
news.
End of Beverly Hills, the beginning of Potomac, and then Salt Lake City.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. Well, I think just we'll talk about it a little bit, but you're caught up on Potomac, right?
Absolutely.
You texted me
up
about this whole thing with Giselle trying to stir up like this weird.
Candace?
Like Me Too adjacent type of conversation about Chris.
Are
everything.
We doing this?
That really is one of the first times it feels like where a housewife has really looked in the camera during the middle of filming like that. That was crazy.
That I've never seen anything like it. It was so thrilling.
So for context, for people who aren't really watching Potomac or are not caught up maybe, definitely recommend watching Potomac. Is like fine wine of housewives at this point. It is amazing. This season, basically, it's beginning without really any documentation. This is all hearsay entirely from Giselle. Giselle is basically telling everybody before talking to Candace that Candace's husband, Chris Bassett, approached her in her dressing room at the season 6 reunion filming. Giselle keeps saying, oh, I thought my glam team was going to be there. I thought cameras might be in there. But when I got there, he came in and it was basically him by himself. And she was, quote unquote, like very uncomfortable. And everyone she's talked to, including Robin especially, and everyone else is like, what does that mean? Like, what, did he say anything? No. Did he do anything inappropriate? No. And then there's the Instagram DM Chris sent at like 3 a.m. to one of the housewives, asking him to go to the hotel because he works at that hotel and wants them to come to like the parties that they're throwing on the rooftop deck. And it's just like, it's so ridiculous. Oh, do you have the clip here?
I have the clip right here.
Oh my God, no, it's so funny.
Your husband, but you cannot just diminish how I felt, but I'm just telling you.
What are we doing? What is this?
I'm just telling you how it made me feel.
Uh-huh. Where's Eric? I need Eric. I don't need the camera. I need to talk to Eric.
Is Candace okay?
If it's going to be about maligning my f-ing husband, you don't want me here. Michael Darby is available for that. The ass-grabbing motherfucker that likes to actually make people feel uncomfortable. He's available for that. Not my husband.
She's so real, though.
She's so real, though.
Yeah, like, it was, she needed to say it.
Like, Candace is a fucking mess. She's
I love her.
Cruel, I and love she's her. Mean.
I love how mean she
and
is.
And she's
I don't care.
Nasty. And she says the most hateful shit I've ever read in my life. And besides, she's a fucking classist. Like, we get all of it.
Yeah, no, she's
but she
a horrible
makes
person.
Such good television. And this is the thing about,
but
like,
she's ready to play.
But this is the thing about Potomac that's, like, thrilling. And specifically this is, like, Candace has played the villain. And Candace has played
yes.
the anti-hero. And
yes.
Candace has played the normal one. Like, this is where Housewives is good. Because people are changing constantly.
Yeah.
The villain can't stay the villain every season.
It's awful.
It's not interesting.
Yeah. As we see with Beverly Hills, it's literally making everyone feel crazy.
Sometimes Karen's the villain. Sometimes Giselle. Well, Giselle is always secretly the villain, but she does a good job at being like
deflecting. And throwing it around.
You know, Robin is like a good chorus character, but yeah. she can play the villain too.
Yeah, she'll
Ashley
align with the villain.
Has like filled every role in like
Ashley's
Shakespeare's
a one woman show
repertoire.
Mama.
Like, yeah. Like her and Candace,
she plays the hero and the anti-hero at the same
like,
time.
Her, Candace, Giselle, Karen, like Shakespearean yeah. actresses, like truly. But what I'm saying is like, it's funny because they can all like play different roles and the alliances are like changing every season.
It's so good.
Because remember when Giselle was like writing against Ashley for siding with Monique?
Oh, yeah.
And like refused to film with Monique.
And then Candace and Ashley are now even being friends. And
when like
were trying to
Ashley
kill each
told
other.
Her she was like the worst person who's ever been alive. And then also literally threatened her with a butter knife. Like,
yeah, literally with that knife.
At
her house.
When she picked up that butter knife, she cemented her icon status. Okay. She was like, I don't give a fuck that it's a butter knife. I will use it. I will hurt you with this butter knife. Like, I will like just whack you with it if I need to. Like, I ain't making any cuts, but we will find some way to utilize this. Like,
and then like, they cut to the knife on the
blunt
ground.
Blunt force trauma, butter knife action. But like, this scene was thrilling. And I think it like really goes to show that like, sometimes the fourth wall break is necessary to like,
it was really
put
well done,
ridiculousness
yeah.
in its place. Because like, Giselle was going so off the rails with this.
No,
storyline.
it was like an obvious fabrication out of reality, like out of no reality. Like
because she had just
everyone around
Chris.
Her too was like, "What are you talking about?" Like the whole thing with the DM, where it was like, "Oh, you know, Ashley is saying, oh, I got a DM." Chris was like, "Come to the W," and then Robin's like, "Yeah, he works there. He works at the bar, and you were out with your friends. He wants people to go to the bar because he wants to make it popular." And like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I guess." And then
that
Giselle's like,
okay.
"Oh my gosh, he slid into the DMs."
But
like,
no,
I don't know.
It was Giselle didn't think to make it a storyline until she saw an opportunity
yes,
when Ashley
when the DM
it up.
Came in. Absolutely,
because listen, Ashley's thing is like the most like it's messy. She's being messy.
Yeah.
But it's real that like if someone's man who you are friends with, obviously you're filming a TV
yes.
show together, but you're not keeping up with him. You don't know he just got a new job and he
yeah.
sends you a selfie at 2:30 in the morning and it's like, come party at
the W. Well, it isn't a selfie. I think he replied to her selfie or something. Or something. Like that. But like it was commenting on the Instagram story of Ashley and her friends being all cool at the club somewhere else.
So that's what I'm saying. Like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the fact that she didn't know he worked there and he didn't go, she's like, being hey, messy. I'm listen, working there listen, now.
Listen, she wasn't threatened by him. She didn't think he was trying to cheat. She's just being messy.
Yeah.
But it's believably messy.
But Giselle is straight up like,
it's like, let me make a Me Too moment out of like a nice man, like, well, especially talking to me in my dressing room.
Especially since the last five seasons has been all about Michael Darby being like literally assaulting crew, other people in the housewives, like other friends of the families, like, and being cheating. Like, so there's been a history of allegations that have become all true and have been investigated and lawsuits like, have happened.
This is what I'm saying about Giselle. So
Candace is like, what the fuck are you doing?
She needs to switch up the bullshit tactics because like, am I watching it and eating it up? Yes.
But oh, yeah.
Like,
but mainly because Candace is going to fight back, which is great.
Because she has literally nothing going on in her life.
At all, ever. And she's never had anything going on. And that's my favorite thing.
Like, she's just doing this because she doesn't have anything to talk about with herself. No man. Like, her house is ugly. She only lives in one part of the house because the rest of it is obviously unlivable. Like,
yes, the fact that she built this, like, Home Depot shed extension to her, like, a house because she can't live in the main section of it. Like, she literally has no furniture. They never go into the regular part of the house. Yes. They're just living in this two-story extension that has completely different paneling, which makes me so irritated.
She calls it the West Wing because it's the White House. But, like, ma'am. Ma'am. And it's the ugliest house. It's uglier than sin.
And she's literally like, pink and purple are the only two colors that exist.
It is like she went into a Home Goods and was like, let me find a way to turn this into Z Gallery.
Like, give me the ugliest stuff out of this Home Goods.
Like, this is like, I'm like, she's walking into Z Gallery like, I'm about to create the most toxic environment you've ever seen. Like,
no, it really is giving very wish.com.
Like, pink zebra.
Okay, can we talk about these tweets Candace made though? Because she's,
that's why we're talking about this. So let's talk about what Candace. Smith. Let's talk about Candace. This is the meanest thing you could say about someone though.
She does this every season. It's just amazing. Candace tweeted after the episode aired, I haven't said anything yet, mostly because I've been in the land of Bravo having the time of my life. But hashtag Real Housewives of Potomac episode 2 has come and gone. The first and most relevant thing I can say is that it's hard to say anything at all because I hashtag support women, hashtag believe women, and I support hashtag me too. I can't tell a woman how to feel about a man's presence in her orbit. We are entitled to our feelings and they should never be diminished or questioned. And then here's where it devolves. It's the most appalling part of this episode and those that will play after is watching a feral gutter snipe attempt to upend and dismantle these pillars that women have worked so hard to establish. All in the name of what? All in the name of entertainment? Where have you landed? How exactly are we here? You are not a victim. What you are is a calculated slab of misery, creating the next generation of snipes through the fine example your children have to mirror. We are all in danger.
Okay, by the way, I looked up what a gutter snipe was because I've literally never heard this word before.
I feel like I have.
I'm getting this from Merriam-Webster.
Wow, it's, they actually have it in the dictionary. A vagabond,
especially an outcast boy or girl in the streets of a city. A person of the lowest moral or economic station.
Candace is like, let me get this thesaurus out.
Oh my God. This is...
God, do I not want to know the etymology of that
she
one?
She pulled out the Mark Twain, like, insults. That was something else. Okay, she also says, okay, this is the worst part. Keep going.
Oh, no, those are the
tweets. You read the calculated slab of misery? Yeah. Sorry, yeah, while I was looking up the word gutter snipe.
I just read that one. Yeah. Okay, wait, she did tweet something else recently. She did tweet, season 8, I'm just about to start lying. I'm just going to start saying whatever failure fallacies come out of the top of my dome, since apparently that's what the show has come to. Bitches are so devoid of lives that they will flat out lie to keep their check.
Love her. I also love that she's re-releasing her album.
Oh yeah, the digital deluxe expansion experience or whatever it is. I love it. You know, she made it off that album. Good for her. And it got praise.
This is so funny.
I love Candace. I think she's always been so funny. She's just like the right, I don't know. A lot of people get mad at the way she fights and the horrible things she says. And I agree, but I just feel like she keeps it within the line of like entertainment television. And it's not like Rinna right now or what you see in Beverly Hills where they're like really going after each other. Just like a purely mean for being mean's sake.
What is
this clip is amazing. Please play this. Please blast this.
This is what I call growth. I will go to the Twitter. I will tweet the thing and then I'll delete it. I'll just, you know, you tweet and delete or tweet and put it in my drafts. Mm. And that is Jesus working on me.
Like, she has to be the funniest thing that's ever. She's the funniest person that's ever been born. Like,
amazing.
And Wade's wrong because, like, she's mean, you know? Like, I get it that she is, like, a horrible individual and completely spoiled beyond belief. But, like, but, like, the Potomac people just came to play this season.
No, it's
like,
fun.
I love Karen's, like, spring back, spring forward, renewal of spring, spring of life.
Life is rejuved. Like, I don't
know. Life is rejuvenated.
Yeah, like.
Spring kickoff, Grand Dame is back party. Like,
what was it? Girls and gays.
Nene's all white. Gay. Girls and gays.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Seafood soiree.
Wow. Okay. We also have a new Bravo cast.
Roni news. Roni news.
Oh boy.
Girl. Here we go.
So this is partly from Screen Rant, partly from Instagram, partly from Variety. One of the new Real Housewives of New York's bio on Instagram reads "Proud Jew and Zionist." You will see posts on it calling out, quote, anti-Semitism through things like Bella Hadid's Vogue cover, where she spoke about Palestinian, the violence against Palestinians committed by Israel and the IDF. And the post, she edited the caption within the Vogue cover to basically say, quote, expose how Vogue contributes to anti-Semitism. And that is complete bullshit, right? Like,
it's the thing where she literally edits the text within the cover photo to be like what they really want to say, which is like, mama,
it's bad.
It's bad.
And it's bullshit. She's a complete Zionist.
Yeah.
She's,
I mean,
anti-Palestine,
proud
obviously.
Zionist. Yeah.
But, like, okay, we don't need to, like, get too far into her politics, right? Because, like, talking to Zionists is, like, a dead-end road.
Absolutely.
They have terminal brain poisoning that cannot be cured through anything other than something we can't say on this podcast. However, we do need to talk about the rest of the cast.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about them, because you took these notes.
Yes, yes, yes. So you can click the link if you want to see photos. But so at BravoCon, it was debuted, obviously, the whole new cast of the new Real Housewives of New York series. I don't know when they said it's going to be coming out, but probably sometime next year. So the new housewives are, we have first, I think it's Sai De Silva. These are all from Variety. I'm getting these summaries from, by the way. So just, you know, that's where the copy styling comes from. Sai is an Afro-Latina, born and raised in New York. She's the creative director of Scout the City, which originated as a passion project blog and quickly evolved into an online lifestyle destination. Scout the City chronicles Sai's adventures of chic parenting from her home in Brooklyn, where she resides with husband David Craig and their two children, London and Rio. Are we just talking about people have names as cities? It's like so obnoxious. Like,
oh, yes.
What was it, that girl on Tinder, Bali?
Like, I temporarily turned on the like see girls filter on Tinder. And one of the first girls that I saw was a white woman named Bali. And I was like, not doing this. And I promptly turned it off. Which, you know, like, listen, my bisexual card might get revoked. Like, I don't know if I have patience for it. Let's go.
You're like, I've seen all I need to see.
I've seen all I need to see.
Yes. Their housewife is Uba Hassan, a Somalian model and philanthropist who moved to New York and made it her home. At a young age, Uba fled to Kenya with her dad and brother, but later moved to Canada, where she was spotted by a photographer and was subsequently signed by a modeling agency. She's also an entrepreneur and founder of Uba Hot, a hot sauce company she allegedly built from scratch. We also have Erin Dana Leachy, a funny, confident, and candid New Yorker raised in Manhattan as one of the five children in a close-knit Israeli family. A born go-getter, Erin became a real estate agent at 19 and owns her own home renovation and design firm called Homegirl. Erin's husband is an attorney and owner of Litchi Law or Likey. I'm probably pronouncing this totally wrong. The couple share three children together and live in Tribeca. Erin is super sociable, loves being around others, and is always up for a good time. Don't you just love this topic?
Not Jenna Lyons, girl.
Well, I was going to say, I'm interested to hear what you think. Former president, executive creative director of J. Crew Group, where she was widely recognized as the creative force behind the American retail chain's phenomenal rise from floundering catalog chain to one of the most coveted fashion brands in the U.S. Jenna is now co-founder and CEO CEO of direct-to-consumer beauty brand Love Scene, and resides in New York City with her son, Beckett. What's the stuff about Jenna Loins that made you groan?
She's just like, okay, like, she...
just being snarky.
No, I mean, like, she's just, like, a girl boss main character type, you know? Yeah. She was, like, the kind of people that was, like, fireside chat with, like, Jenna Lyons about, like, girl boss feminism empowerment.
And how American Jamila Express Jamil. Can get you liberation.
Sponsored by American Express and Tampax Pearl. Like,
I see.
Yeah. It's just, she just was kind of messy, and she kind of got not ousted from... J. Crew, but she kind of was
there a little scandal?
Well, it's just that, like, she, from what I remember, she just was like endlessly self-promoting and like just like kind of like becoming a brand outside of J. Crew, and it just was like conflicting with the fact that she ran J. Crew.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember too much of it, but I just remember her being like an annoying main character, New Yorker type, you know?
Yeah, well, that seems like what they're casting for.
Yeah.
We also have Giselle Tank, an outgoing and unreserved fashion publicist and brand consultant known for thinking outside the box. Really, who came up with this copy? She's of British Indian descent, met her husband, who's a financier, after they were introduced by a friend at a bar on the Lower East Side. Romance didn't spark immediately, and they remained close friends for years before they began to date. The two married in Mexico in 2014 and have twin boys. And then skipping the Zionist, of course, we have the last one here. This one's not the Zionist. Bryn Whitfield, a brand marketing and communications professional, a cheeky trophy wife in training. Oh, Lord. Bryn has a penchant for interior design, fashion, and hosting dinner parties from her small but mighty West Village apartment. Originally from a small town in the Midwest, Bryn was raised by her grandmother, who taught her invaluable lessons about navigating life, owning her narrative as a biracial woman in the true meaning of hard work. I mean, obviously, what we know from this cast is it's, one, obviously not just exclusively white women who all live in Manhattan. The whole thing here is we have people who live in different parts of New York and different parts of Manhattan and different parts of the city. It seems like they're all primarily, like, mostly fashion, interior design people. It's not really, I mean, they seem to all have children. So in a sense, they're all housewives in that way, but they seem to be a lot more actively working, definitely younger skewing. I mean, I think we knew that with New York in general when they started, and then 10, 12 years later, these housewives have totally different lives than what they started with. They were all much more like what we're seeing here, fresh, allegedly.
Yeah.
But we have no content to work with. We just have bios, which I'm sure tie into what the premise will be when they start the season. But we don't really know anything about them or any drama going on. So I don't know.
We shall see. It's going to be a much different vibe, but like, people also have to remember that a lot of the Roni women were like in their late 30s, early 40s when the show started.
Bethany was like mid early 30s, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. It's pretty weird.
And the rest of them were like at most early 30s. I mean, early 40s, excuse me. Yeah, like, I'm not mad that they're younger, you know?
No, it's what it kind of needs to be after but a certain
like,
time.
Yeah, like, again, I think the people that like just start complaining about Roni being like, bring back our girls, it's so disrespectful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just was thinking to myself, like, the season before the COVID era was also bad.
No, it was bad the last few seasons. It was like getting progressively worse. People are
like, it was only bad because of COVID. It was like, no, Tinsley, the season that Tinsley left was also bad.
Yeah,
it kind of was the end.
Yeah, and then Dorinda got really hard to watch.
And the season even before Ramona was hard to watch. Carol's final season was also bad.
Luann started to get too far past the line of like, this is messy but funny, maybe. It started to become like, this is just serious.
Season nine was maybe like the last good.
That was the Bethany Carol fight.
I believe so.
And that really, even that was kind of getting annoying. Like,
but that's, I'm saying that was like the last really actually watchable season.
And it had a better cast.
Tinsley's last season was terrible.
Yeah.
The two last seasons after were also terrible. Like, it wasn't good.
Yeah. And then Ramona was just getting awful. More and more awful in a way that is again. And she just shits all the time on the floor. It's like literally happening every season. It's upsetting to watch.
So I'm not like sad about it at
no
all.
I'm interested to see. I mean, obviously them casting a like proud Zionist is upsetting to see, because
well,
you know,
Andy
Robert
Cohen
really
of
care.
Course
yeah well yeah,
okay right. This is the thing where
like
Andy,
they know
this is the thing where like Andy has like selective memory. Like, Andy kind of played his hand when he defended this. He said like, wow, the amount of anti-Semitism I'm seeing about our new cast member is like upsetting. But then he seemingly wasn't upset that Ramona was literally at a dinner party making fun of Judaism for an entire episode and saying the most anti-Semitic shit about like Jewish people on TV for like a solid 2 episodes during her final season on the show. And he didn't say a single word about it. Like, we condemn what Ramona is saying. He's saying it because it's about Palestine. And this is what he actually feels.
Yeah, that's really all it is. I mean,
and this is what I was tweeting Andy, the other week.
Where Andy aligns.
We'll wrap it up here. But like, I was tweeting the other week and I still believe this. Like, everyone's always like, with Lisa Rinna still being on the show, they're like, oh my gosh, what does Lisa Rinna have? Like, she must be really good for ratings if Bravo keeps her. Like, she must have dirt on Andy. And I'm like, actually, consider this. Andy's just an evil person. Consider that he's exactly just a bad person.
And it is getting views.
And he's just a bad person. He's evil to the core, like the women that he casts on his shows.
Just the other day, Kathy said, I would only come back if they fired Rinna or whatever. And we've seen this before with a lot of other housewives.
Yeah,
or
don't Denise, give ultimatums.
Or Denise, I'll come back, but only if they get rid of Rinna and Erica or, you know, what have you. And then Andy responded. This is just some tweet. I don't have the link for it. But Andy said something like, oh, you know, we definitely have seen it before. And, you know, we'll see what decisions are made. It will be interesting to see. And then at BravoCon, you know, the times they booed Rinna and said Rinna was terrible. And then, you know, Andy will tweet about, I don't know, Below Deck Med reunion questions. And people are like, what are you doing on Beverly Hills? This is a terrible show. Like, the fans are literally flooding him every day.
And it's going to be about cancel culture.
And Andy does not care and will not act on it.
The way he turned Garcelle's, like, the racist abuse Garcelle was suffering into a bit about cancel culture affecting the cast. I was like, you're dumb as a rock.
That reunion was, part one was so
exhausting. Oh, I know. It's why I haven't seen
it. Part two, I'm like afraid to watch. And then part three is probably just going to be even more wretched.
Well. The grinder's going off, so I got to go.
Turn that shit back on. Dude,
no, my newborn baby niece, who is so cute. It's her first pumpkin patch today, so it's a big deal.
You better not get the grinder notification at the pumpkin patch in the middle of redacted.
Listen, could you imagine? Like, I'm like, one sec, guys. Like, taking photos it's gonna be who knows. With the newborn. I'm like, actually, one sec. Can you hold her? I need to, like, respond to this grinder DM.
The real question will be, who recognizes that sound effect?
No one. Nobody.
Not in your family, but in that pumpkin patch. You never know.
Might turn my location small town on secrets. To yeah. immediate area.
Yeah. Is there someone in this cornfield with us?
That seems like a good... Pumpkin Patch seems like a good place to cruise. Tell me if you've ever had experience with this. I want to know.
Well, we know girls be funkin' pumpkins. So, like, someone might be new to that.
Wait.
You know that gif that everyone posts at Halloween time? You know what I'm talking about.
Like, do not. Like, actually, girls, or are you talking about, like, gays?
Oh, no, like a gay guy.
Okay. I was like,
I was
thinking, like, the stem, maybe? I was like.
That's your girls gotta make, too. That's another
Stop
one.
Stop calling gay men girls. They're men.
No, you're right.
Could you imagine?
You're right.
We, like, suddenly take a hard line stance on, like, don't call me cis. I'm a man.
Well, mood.
Once again, I'm just saying, gay guys, I've been seeing you out on the apps, and I just want you to know that if you're not hot, what are you even doing? Like,
no uggos? Is that really your stance now?
No.
If I said ugly bitch, get out.
When the anthropology project of being back on the apps as an actually gorgeous woman with huge fat tits and a huge fat ass is over, you'll never hear from me again.
When UC Berkeley finally releases their results in the study you've been performing in.
The entity known as Joan Summers was a Harvard psychological study. The new era of Timmy Thick. Okay, we gotta go.
We gotta go. Three, this is getting
two,
stupid.
One. Goodbye.
No. 3, 2, 1. Ding. Hi, my name.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm gonna stop recording.